views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby don't like anything I do. My teacher seems to feel the same way too.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. Hopefully you're having a great morning. It's beautiful weather out there for November, late November, that's for sure. I'm enjoying global warming.
Oh, yeah.
And I hope you are, too. I have the Laundry House gang in the studio here with me. If you have a call-in question, thought, or philosophy for them, they are philosophers themselves. You can reach us at 458-TALK, 458-8255. And we don't have Craig Compo in here.
Well,
we're not going to have any San Francisco philosophy.
But Dave, he's on a mission. Yeah.
We won't have any free ads today.
But what makes you think that?
Well, I think he went down there to audition myself. You know about all his songs that he's written over the years.
Is he going to try and duet with Dolly Parton?
If he could manage that, he would do that in a heartbeat.
In a heartbeat. You know, when the cat's not here, we smack him.
That's right.
So
yeah, I thought maybe he'd take his air guitar. You know, that's about what he plays.
You know, Fairbanks, we have a good portion of the Laundry House gang in here, and they are a group of people that started in the 70s, I would say.
Yeah.
And you're influential because of your knowledge, your historic knowledge, especially.
We have 600-800 years of Alaskan experience going back to statehood,
mm-hmm.
and in some cases a little beyond that, in the room when we have a meeting on Wednesday. And new people that come in will sit in there and look, and you'll see their face kind of, the jaw drops a little bit. When somebody says, well, I remember, you know, when we first started this just before statehood, this is what we were doing, and it changed around to this, and we're still working on some of those issues today. And people don't ever think about that historic perspective. And we'll talk about one of them today, mm-hmm. that is important. But you just don't get that kind of thing. And we have youngsters in the room. I mean, there's some very young businessmen, a couple of military types. Al is only 75, so he counts. And then
old as dirt.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's Al.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we have some gray beards. You know, Heimer and I are getting up there. Where is he at today? I have no idea. I got to get
the update on the squirrel population.
Well, this year, all over the place, the squirrels are bad. In fact, I was talking to...
we call that word prolific.
There's a very, very good trapper that lives next to my place down at Gakona. And his name is Patrick Neal. And Patrick has been getting squirrels right there on the homestead. He doesn't get them for their hide. He's just getting rid of them because they're into everything. But he called the other day and said, do you want me to put a couple squirrel traps over to your house? They're running all over the place over there. And I told him, by all means, take your trap line and move it next door.
Are you tanning any squirrels there?
Yeah, I have half a dozen or so from... Virgil Umpernauer's grandson got a couple, so we're doing him up. And then Bill Larry's grandson's got a couple, so we're doing
next
those
generation
up.
Starting with the squirrels.
There you go.
Good to hear.
So. Yeah. I had a big harvest the other day, Al, out in the garage. I caught a vole that was so small, I can't imagine how the spring on the mouse trap caught him. I was going to bring him to you for a full-body mount, but I changed my mind.
So tell us more about the history of the Laundry House Gang.
Well, the Laundry House Gang... It came about when local businessman Bill Hager, may he rest in peace, a great, great local guy. I mean, if there was anybody in town, I mean, Compo picks up dozens of projects to help people in town. Mm-hmm. He, if you have a mission that needs some help, needs some push,
he does it.
And he doesn't ask a lot of questions about, you know, whether he thinks you're a good guy or a bad guy. If the mission is just, then he jumps in. Well, Bill was like that, and Bill had several things he liked, but he was a hunter and a fisherman and liked hunting, especially caribou down in the Neltchina, was where he got started, and moose. And he noticed over time, and he had quite an expenditure there. He had purchased property down in there, and I mean, you know, he had a life investment in mm-hmm. there. And he noticed that the regulations for hunting kept getting tighter and tighter and tighter. And it was at a time when the Department of Fish and Game, a lot of us fondly called them the Department of Watch 'em and Count 'em, because they really didn't manage anything as far as trying to make populations go up
and
down.
They weren't managing herds, they were managing people.
And managing people, exactly. And that was their mission in life. You know, mm-hmm. have more hunters or less hunters on a given weekend. And Bill thought there was a better way. So he started looking around at what other management programs in the world were doing, not just in the United States. And then he gathered up about six of us from local here, maybe seven, that had some experience with, it was kind of strange. He got people like Wayne Heimer, who's mm-hmm. an expert biologist and an absolute bulldog at finding details and finding out what's driving things. Inside, worked for the Department of Fish and Game. He didn't do this in a vacuum. He had some local businessmen that were interested in hunting, too, and guys like Craig Compo. He was interested and called me because he couldn't, as just an Alaska resident looking at it, and you probably will understand, especially with your experience on the city council and the mayor's office, he couldn't read the state budget. He would look in there, he would call somebody at Fish and Game and say, why aren't we doing this and this? And they'd say, well, you know, we can't. We just don't have this money in the budget. And Bill would take the budget out, look at the seven or eight pages of Fish and Game projects, and there was lots of money there, but he couldn't figure out why
they weren't funding that project.
Well, or why it was on this project and not that project.
Yeah.
And how. So those of us, there was a couple of us then that joined him that worked every day with the state budget. You know, in my case, with the DOT, with hundreds of projects.
Yeah.
So we knew, you know, if you looked at line B and it was connected on a page six over here on the other side to asterisk A, you could combine that and get a total picture of what was going on. So that's why he called us originally. And also then about that time we were, I had been a hunter for a long time. At that time I was a guide or assistant guide in the 70s, very interested in hunting and whatnot. So we all had a common background of trying to figure out why we couldn't do something to manage those populations a little better. I think most of your listeners that follow us here certainly know about the 30-year effort on the 40-mile caribou herd and some of those. Al spent a dozen years on the Western Arctic caribou herd management team, mm-hmm. planning team. And so it's one of those things where when that original group got together, we threw out a couple of issues of problems. Bill brought in some of his research and asked others to do more. And literally at the lunch table, we started meeting every week. And Bill Hager, bless him, those of you know him, Bill was in the laundromat business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, a memorial to him after he had passed away. And the group came. Yeah, we call ourselves the Laundry House Gang in addition to our titled name, which is the Alaska Wildlife Conservation Association. But Bill used to always pay for lunch with a pocket full of quarters. Wherever we were having lunch, he would stack quarters up on the table there and until he got his lunch. But so the original concept for the Intensive Management Act in the Alaska statutes was developed at the table. And we spent about 2 years working on the various details and pieces. Now, keep in mind, we're working against, at that time, an administration that really didn't like it and a Fish and Game department that absolutely totally was against it because it made them do something. And I don't mean they weren't doing something. They were all spending their time. But it made them focus on a certain type of issue. And the issue we started with was what populations are important to Alaskans to eat. And we weren't worried about 70-inch moose. We weren't worried about having 48,000 of these or those. We were interested in what populations of ungulates that Alaskans were really using.
Ungulates is a big word.
I do that for Al's purposes because he has to go look it up. But the idea was
you got to go tan one.
Yeah, there you go. And so the idea was then to try to put some policy into the statute that required them to define those populations that were important and then protect the use of them in a different way. And if they drop below the potential for their use in comparison to their habitat.
Who was the political person you used to put it in?
Senator Ralph Seekins.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Put the bill in.
Yep.
Yeah, as a matter of fact. Yeah, he had a lot of help. Don't misunderstand.
Yeah.
You know, at that time, by the time we got it into the legislature and they started to see it, the light dawned because everyone could get a grip of those things that were important for food sources.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, here we have this now this food security concept, but this is we're back 40 years ago now talking kind of about the same thing. How do we keep these things going so that Alaskans can continue to chew on them, in perpetuity?
Fairbanks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. You want to call in, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
If you're planning on taking a trip to Anchorage for your holiday shopping or just to get away, the Hyatt Place Anchorage Midtown is ready for you. Their rooms are large, clean, and comfortable with one of the friendliest teams you'll find at Anchorage. All their rates include breakfast, complimentary wireless internet, complimentary parking, and complimentary 24/7 shuttle service. And they're located right in the heart of Anchorage, the perfect jumping-off point for shopping around town. They also have a discount that's just for Alaskans. Use the code ALSK when booking your room or mention it when calling 907-562-1235. The Hyatt Place Anchorage Midtown.
Fairbanks, are you thinking about a new career where you're your own boss, setting your own schedule? In real estate, you set your success up in the winter for a very good spring, summer, and fall. To start this new career, the state of Alaska requires you to take a pre-licensing course. My next class is the first 2 weekends in December. If it is something you are considering, give me, David Pruse, a call at 479-7000, that's 479-7000, to start your real estate career.
The Find Out Free Pregnancy Center provides free, confidential pregnancy tests to any woman in need, but they offer so much more to women, men, and families. By participating in one-on-one parenting classes selected by you, you can take advantage of Earn While You Learn, earning valuable credit to spend on children's items and clothing in Maria's Boutique. The Find Out Free Pregnancy Center, call 907-455-8255 or visit online findoutfree.com. findoutfree.com.
Dearest Mother, the holiday season is upon us. I can tell because it's becoming a wee bit nippy outside. That and, of course, everyone hanging their Christmas lights. I know you remember me writing about Brewster's. That is why I would ask that you send me Brewster's gift cards for Christmas. Brewster's has become my home away from home. They have all the options I need. Burgers to salads to seafood. By the way, their halibut fish and chips is a real corker. Mother, this holiday season, please, just give me Brewster's gift cards. Your beloved son, Henry.
Weather brought to you by GCR. Maintaining your correct tire pressure improves safety, fuel economy, and tire life. Drop by the Tire Guys for free tire inflation. GCR Tires and Service, taming the Alaskan road. Van Horn at Cushman.
KFAR Weather.
A mix of clouds and sun today, with daytime highs approaching 23. Winds out of the northeast, around 5 miles per hour. Lows dip down to about 7 above. Tonight, partly cloudy. Cloudy skies tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 19. Temperatures above average Thursday and Friday, with highs from the mid-teens to the upper teens. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. You should hear the things we talk about during the break and cooking Thanksgiving meals. And Al, you're the champ.
Yeah, I agree.
You ran out of gas, and then you thought you were cooking again. You weren't cooking again.
No, reset the oven, and it was getting colder.
And the wife was going nuts.
Oh yeah, and I heard some yelling when I was in the garage.
Yeah, but Thanksgiving dinner, Al, is good, even if it's an hour late.
Yeah,
too, you know.
Yeah, it's a tough hour before you eat, though.
Yeah.
So back to the history of the Laundry House Gang. A few more minutes.
So after we put the Intensive Management Act together, put it to the legislature, got it passed and signed. And by that time, the folks in the upper headshed of the department had come to grips with it, realized that it wasn't quite as onerous as they originally had thought, and that they still had a lot of options to in their management program under that, which is what we intended. We started then working on other projects, and it was kind of interesting because they came from everywhere. Some of them came out of the governor's office. Some of them came out of departments. Some of them came out of people walking in the door from the street. And at this time, there was still only, well, we'd grown a little bit. I think there was 9, 10 of us by then. This was 10 years, you know, down the line. And so now when we take on things, and this group has met every Wednesday just about for 40-some years now, and we have a, you know, it's like anything else. You, if you're in the city and you're repetitious and you're like where you are, Dave, and you, every year you have to go through the budget. You can't put a budget together and say, oh, we're done with that for 10 years. We'll do work on something else. Our experience has been it's kind of the same with cycles of working with these various agencies and departments and NGOs and whatnot about issues. The issues keep rotating. You know, we have a problem. It either changes region or it changes in terms of the scope, the size of it. The Laundry House Gang is made up of representatives from our local organizations that are interested in resources. For example, Fishing Game Resources. We have the Ducks Unlimited is there. Friends of NRA, TVSA, Chittenden Dip Netters. We have legislators that attend if they're in town. Local politicians, including the mayor himself, has been there a time or two. We get
no matter what. I get the executive board once a month.
Yeah, that's right. That's pretty much true. There's often and has been for about 9, 10 years now at least one borough assemblyman that sat in with us, or lady. In some cases, and we encourage them. They're all welcome.
And you're all inclusive.
Yeah, all inclusive. Whoever comes through the door gets in. We don't shoot the messenger, even if it's the attorney general, although sometimes we get close with him, you know. The Board of Fish, Board of Game are represented, not necessarily officially, although right now they are because Al's on the board. And we don't ask him to go down there and beat him with a stick, but we do ask him about what they're up to. In terms of are there things that we need to comment on, that we need to talk to somebody on, even another agency, something like that. We work with advisory committees, both the Fairbanks Fish and Game Advisory Committee, people like the Yukon Panel, the statewide fish and game support groups. We have lots of people who are just out of the business world, like Greg Campo, and retired professionals from both the business side and that we're worked for our state agencies and whatnot, like Wayne Heimer and myself. And we mix all that together. And right now we meet at TVSA at noon on Wednesday and we have lunch, usually about, 25 of us, I say, something like that right now. And if we get a pretty exciting program, I sent out an email on Tuesdays. We don't have officers or anything like that. I always tease people about knowing the secret handshake and that kind of thing. But I keep basically an agenda so that we have something to work from, because otherwise it's chaos, as you've seen organizations try to, you know, come in. And so somebody has to kind of drive the train through, and I try to do that. But everybody gets to talk about it, and we don't have a clue what's coming sometimes. Very interesting to go around the table and say to people, what's on your mind today? Kind of like you do with us at the end of the program when we talk about going outdoors. We do the same type of thing there. We're occasionally joined by administrations. The governor, Senators Murkowski and Sullivan come in. Congressman Young was a regular 2 or 3 times a year when he was there. We haven't seen Mary Peltola yet, but in her defense, she really hadn't been there long enough to get settled in with our group. We would certainly like to have any of the Alaska's representatives like that come in, because they're the ones that really need some of this history that we can provide. They really do, because they get into these national discussions on what looks good for everybody in the Midwest, for example. And it's just a disaster for us. I mean, Al's in right on top of one that we've been fighting for years and years and years, and that is they've all set aside trapping. They don't like the connotation, so they'll talk about fishing and hunting and photography and all that kind of thing, and they'll leave trapping out. And they'll go into legislation that way, and they'll leave out the trappers. And we keep telling our delegation, put the trappers back in there, or exempt Alaska from it. From what you're doing.
Yeah.
And so that's it. And, you know, and we work with the state agencies. If they have a problem with whatnot, I'll give you an example. We have a program coming up on the 6th. That will be the navigable waters section from the DNR coming up from Palmer. They are the ones that are mapping trying to actually put a list together of the navigable waters of the state. It's a huge project they've been working on it for several years. They're going to come up and give us a status report on where they are, and that'll probably eat up most of that meeting. It's very interesting. They've done it a couple times before because access to navigable water is super important to the state. That was the guts of the sturgeon issue. And we got right now three agencies, federal agencies, that are trying to say we have authority on navigable waters.
No, you don't.
When the Supreme Court has already found twice that you don't.
Yeah.
And right now, if you went called over there, they would tell you on the phone, oh, yes, we have, you know, they'll use cases in the lower court like this one on Cake and tell you, oh, no, we can do that there because this is what the judge found. That's what we work on, and then we'll take the information that we generate and we'll provide it to legislators. We'll provide it to the governor's office or the senator's office. Or sometimes it's important that the public know. We'll come in at a problem corner in addition to going to the newspaper and that kind of thing and say, you know, hey, folks, you need to be
this is the issue, and this is what we have to do, and so we need your input on.
And some of them are little issues, like when Lucy calls and says, you know, I'm curious about this thing that happened on the lower Yukon and such and such. And I write those down, and I go research them and try to find out, you know, exactly what happened to what she was talking about.
This is your panel is a very, very good outreach on the air for Fairbanks and the interior. It really is.
And one of our newest people that generally show up all the time is the Alaska State Trooper Captain for the Northern Post up here.
Yeah.
You know, he's really interested in it. He's a hunter and fisherman, but he also, you know, we help him out on the trooper side on, you know, fundraising and where to go and talk about issues. And he updates us on, you know, projects that the Alaska Troopers are doing locally.
It's kind of fun to watch Captain Spitzer come in because he's a hands-on manager.
Oh yeah.
And he will come, he came in one day all covered with brush and dust, and sorry he was a little bit late, but he'd been chasing somebody through the brush.
Was he successful?
Yes, he was.
He's a big boy. Yeah. He's got a long stride.
He and two other troopers and two dogs.
Oh, man.
They're very successful.
You know, when you have the captain, the interior captain of the troopers, plus two guys and two dogs.
Yeah, but he's...
They really want this person.
Yeah.
This is a non-failure group.
Yeah, in this case was a couple of people, but they went after him. But, I mean, that's the kind of input we get when we're talking about there. He brings us information on how bad the drug situations really are, you know, what's been kind of the same kind of stuff he would bring to you at the city to say this is the situation, this is the status out there, and of course your city police and whatnot are very interested in that stuff too, because that's high on their mark of trying to cut that stuff off. So it, you know, comes around, and we've got a dozen projects we're working on now, and we'll be just picking them up as we go. Legislature's coming up. We've got to work with them and see if there's anything they need help with to try to stick in some. It's amazing. We've changed. Let me back up a step. One of the things that in our statute and in the regulations comes out is a problem of definitions. Are we needing to break again?
In a little bit.
Okay.
You got about 20 seconds.
Okay. And so what we do is we'll work on those definitions and help them stick them in at the right place. And we have literally kept the state of Alaska out of court on several issues.
By putting the definition.
By doing that, by putting that definition in there.
Fairbanks, we are going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFPR Radio. We are going to go into some Fox News, some state news, some commercials, some weather, and we'll be back. We'll be right back.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Hostages released today by Hamas, 10 Israelis and 2 foreigners as the ceasefire extension deal seems to be working for now. Yifat Zeiler has multiple family members being held in Gaza, including a 10-month-old great-nephew, calling on hostages to be brought home as soon as possible, say the longer the process goes, the more Hamas is able to prepare for the next stage of the war. They are on Fox and Friends.
I think they're probably stalling. You know, every day of ceasefire, they receive fuel. It gives Hamas opportunity to rearrange. We are at war.
The president's funding requests for Israel and Ukraine being held up in the Senate. Congress is split on the issue of funding southern border security. Here's Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell.
The single largest obstacle in the way of urgent resources to help Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan is Democrats' refusal to address the crisis at the southern border.
America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Alaska's news source reports that close to a dozen Alaska inmates serving time in the Matanuska-Susitna Valley were indicted on contraband charges earlier this month by a Palmer grand jury. According to the Department of Law, the grand jury indicted 11 inmates spanning the Goose Creek Correctional Center, the Matsu Pretrial Facility, and the Palmer Correctional Center, and 2 visitors on November 16th for the charges of first-degree promoting contraband. The offense applies to anyone who plays a role in either attempting or successfully introducing, taking, or conveying a controlled substance into a correctional facility. The charge carries a sentence of up to 5 years. And finally, a shocking 50 people have died outdoors in Anchorage this year, according to the most recent statistics from the Anchorage Police Department. The latest death came November 18th when a woman was found dead inside a tent in a Russian Jack neighborhood. In 2021, there were 19 deaths, and in 2020, there were 17 outdoor deaths in the Anchorage area.
Online at KFAR660.com.
Spicy, hot, crunchy, and more spicy. Must be sriracha cheese curds at A&W. Their spiced up version of 100% Wisconsin white cheddar with just the right amount of sriracha heat. For a limited time at your Fairbanks A&W KFC on Airport Way.
It's a fact. Cold weather kills car batteries. Make sure your battery is strong enough to withstand another winter. Have it tested for free at Batteries Plus. Need a replacement? We have plenty of options available from the industry's top brands. Plus, free battery installation in most vehicle makes and models. Or upgrade to Premier installation for added protection. You'll also find jump starters, windshield wiper blades, and other winter auto essentials at your nearest location. Or online at batteriesplus.com.
Hi, this is Loa Carol Hubbard, your local Allstate agent, wishing all of you, your friends and family, a wonderful holiday season. From all of us at the Loa Carol Hubbard Agency, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, and goodwill toward men.
The holidays are a special time here in Fairbanks, and all of us here at Last Frontier Media Active hope you get to celebrate the season with family and friends. Thanks for sharing your days and nights with us and our family of local radio stations. Wishing you happy holidays and a prosperous new year.
One of the best traditions many Italian families hold dear is the weekly family meal. Families coming together under one roof, cooking a massive shared feast with food and drink while spending quality time with each other. Now, that's a great tradition. You can start your own family tradition with dinner at Giraldo's. Giraldo's has a menu that has something for everyone, from the littlest bambino to Nona and Nono. A weekly family meal. This is a tradition worth keeping. Eat well, drink well, enjoy life at Giraldo's.
Did you miss your favorite local show on KFAR Radio? Just log on to our website, kfarradio.com, and click the Archives tab to find all past episodes of shows like Problem Corner, Health Talk, Fairbanks Foodies, Alaska Realty Today, Shooter's Corner, and the Compos Outdoor Show. Hours of entertaining, informative, local programs produced exclusively for KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Online at kfarradio.com. We are KFAR, the heartbeats of Alaska.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have a couple members of the Laundry House gang in here with me, and you can tell that this is a successful show, and we're near Christmas by all the commercials that we have. Man. But, okay, like next, you know, boy, I don't line up the commercials. They're lined up for me.
Yeah, but Dave, it's just because you're so popular.
I think it was because it's Tuesday. It's, you know, and it's you guys.
So. Oh, yeah, there you go.
Now, Judge Gleason gave out an interesting decision on cake.
Well,
that involved it.
Yeah, interesting in the sense of she found against the state of Alaska on a wildlife management issue.
Whenever I use the term interesting in real estate, that is not good.
Yeah, right. Well, this was not good in the fact that what she did in this decision and written right into the decision, and you got to really watch this with federal cases. It's what happened in Katie John and a couple of the others, where the final the judge says Congress must have meant to do this, must have meant to do that, because almost all of those, and ANILCA is one package that really did it, has a huge backlog or backup, a book almost, of intent.
Yeah.
And the intent on management of wildlife and resources in Alaska was put in by a quiet, calm senator who never raised
his voice. Ted Stevens.
Named Ted Stevens.
Yep.
Who was one of those that got
right. So she didn't do her research.
She did not. And whoever did the research for her did not look.
Why didn't the people representing the state of Alaska do the research and give it to her?
Because you don't realize she's going to get to that. What you're doing in fighting the language that's in ANILCA that they are dealing with, and the problem is that there isn't any. So you have to construct.
So she went outside the playground, so to speak.
Absolutely. Or whoever researched for her. Now, I'm not saying the judge did it herself. Likely it was some legal researcher that did it for her. But think about it. You know, it's not really clear. It's the definitional thing I told you about a while ago from the state that Al and I have chased down 40 of them in the regulations.
So her decision was to?
To allow the federal government to the agencies to manage resources. Thing. It was mostly deer, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was deer in this case. Yeah,
but it's a precedent.
Yeah, well, and it's a precedent, but they went a step further. They then delegated that. See, I mean, the federal side thinking now only rural Alaskans who qualify under ANILCA as rural residents. So then that was further delegated down to the community. To pick out who was going to go shoot the deer like that. And that's way out of Alaska's purview. We would never get into that kind of thing. We have the only time we discriminate like that is in what's called Tier 2 under subsistence, and that's where there's a criteria that come down and people qualify under that criteria. You make a list. Dave's number one on the list. Al's two. I'm three. And if we hunt two of them, you guys get them and I don't. But in this case... The other agencies, of course, have jumped all over this now and said, oh, boy, we can manage everything because, you know, the judge said so in here. And I think when the smoke clears and somebody actually gets back into here, this concept of they must have meant that will get a much closer
scrutiny,
and they'll go back into the intent where it's just – you know, crystal clear what it was the senator and the committee that was working on intended.
There you go.
Yeah.
Al?
Well, it's even a little worse than that.
And then there's Al. Okay, Chicken Little, what happened? What really happened?
He's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
You know, ANILCA was set up for a rural preference when there's a shortage.
Yeah.
And so that's now evolved and been misinterpreted that we're managing for rural. Yeah. Priority. No matter what the populations of game are out there, we're going to give them preference somehow. And in this case, there wasn't a shortage of deer. It was the start of COVID, and people started yelling, you know, food security. You know, if you understand cake and where it's at down in Southeast, you know, they're not generally hunting deer. One, the seasons are closed down there. They're gearing up for fishing. So their fishing season was going to start. So they had their traditional food and their traditional seasons that they would go get these things. But it was a classic example somebody was pushing down there. We need three deer. You know, we're going to let the federal manager open that season and allow, you know, a small harvest of deer because we need that food. Yet they could have went out fishing what was already open, and that's traditionally what they did in the springtime is they geared up for fishing and seafood efforts out
there. So they hoodwinked it all.
Yeah, so it was just, exactly a hoodwink. It was, let's push this button and see where it goes, and we'll get some more standing. And the federal courts, especially at the Ninth Circuit level, you'd never been in favor of the state of Alaska. Judge Gleason is, always anti-state of Alaska.
Sad.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Well, what it does is it makes the state have to go to an abnormal amount of energy and time, just like John Sturgeon did as an example with the Supreme Court, to finally get there and get an answer back. And Sturgeon is the good example in this because even though he won two unanimous decisions from the U.S. Supreme Court over the authority of the state versus the authority of the agencies of the federal government, Fish and Wildlife Service, Park Service, BLM, have still refused to change the regulations. They have still refused to admit that the navigable water part and the access to it and all that belongs to the state of Alaska, and they get to manage it. The findings from the Supreme Court on navigable waters in the past include specific language like waters and everything in the water column.
Mm-hmm.
Well, those things we have in the water column are called fish, and the most notorious one are salmon. Okay, so it's not a case of, gosh, we're in new ground here. It's a case of they put the blinders on, and they look for these avenues where they can grab some little piece of the pie.
Here you go. Al, do you have anything coming up with the Board of Game?
No, we're not really scheduled for a full board meeting until January in Kotzebue. It'll be our first big
Kotzebue
meeting. Yeah, we'll be in Kotzebue.
Yes. Who did you piss off?
So, no, that's one of the unique things about the Board of Game, Board of Fisheries, is they go out and try to meet in regional areas.
And that's a regional area.
Yeah. So, you get local input and local participation out there. So I think, that's always been a really good thing for both the Board of Fish and the Board of Game is to get out into those.
They're sending you out there in January.
Yes.
Who did you piss off?
Oh, you're not hurting my feelings.
I'm not trying to.
I like winter.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
Eat some of the
are
local
you
trappers.
Getting some local flavor flat weather gusts of 80 miles an hour?
Yeah.
And what's going to happen is the plane can't come back to get you. You're going to be there about an extra 5 days and then tell me that you didn't mind it.
Oh, I'll have some trapping friends by then, and I'll get to go out and run some line and see what a different country looks like.
Fairbanks, this isn't working. I'm trying to goad him a little bit. Oh no, he's
Al likes hills pretty well, but he can be a flatlander for a while.
Oh yeah,
there you go. Yeah. Fairbanks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. You listen to KFAR Radio. We're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255, and Lucy, we're thinking of you.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
The young woman lay next to her boyfriend in the dark. The beatings were regular now, and her children were terrified. She was unmarried with 4 children and 8 months pregnant. There was no one coming to save her. Listening to him breathe, she thought about her babies, then slipped away and gathered them. This was it. No time for coats or shoes, not even in winter. She knew about the Fairbanks rescue mission, but couldn't find it as she drove in the icy darkness. She called for directions, but still couldn't find the mission, and her tank was nearing empty. The woman on the phone remembered the brightly lighted cross above the mission. "Do you see it?" "Oh my gosh, I'm looking at it right now," she said. Without hesitating, she drove her family to the cross and was saved. Warm and well-fed, the family snuggled into the safety of the mission. This is what we do at the Fairbanks Rescue Mission, and you need to be a part of it. Please donate today at fairbanksrescuemission.org. That's fairbanksrescuemission.org.
You don't want to miss 60% off everything during the once-a-year Black Friday event. Only at your nearest Banana Republic factory store. Bring home must-have styles and gifting favorites with limited-time deals from just $15.
What's for dinner? Burgers?
After last week, no thanks.
Avoiding foods due to fear of diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools? It may not be just stomach issues. It could be EPI, or exocrine pancreatic insufficiency. EPI can cause uncomfortable symptoms because it's a condition where the pancreas doesn't release enough digestive enzymes to break down food. But EPI can be managed. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor about your symptoms. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
You don't want to miss 60% off everything during the once-a-year Black Friday event. Only at your nearest Banana Republic factory store. Bring home must-have styles and gifting favorites with limited-time deals from just $15.
Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing, offering 24-hour service from Salcha to Nanana and no mileage charge on callouts. The Bigfoot with the helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
KFAR weather.
Partly cloudy today with highs around 23. Northeasterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Partly cloudy again tonight, lows around 7 above. Cloudy tomorrow, high of 19. High of 17 Thursday under mainly cloudy skies. 14 Friday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back in the studio here with Al and Mike, Lenderhouse Gang Light Executive Board. Your meetings are tomorrow, Wednesdays. We're at?
TVSA Hall.
Bring your own bag lunch.
Bring our lunch, yep.
Yep, we put the coffee on.
What are some of the other projects that you're working on?
Well, we have some that are ongoing, where we have people that have been watching them for a long time. Al, for example, is keeps an eye on the wood bison planning, goes to those meetings as they come up.
I saw.
Yeah, a lot of them.
I joined him there.
Oh, yeah.
I was the only guy with a suit and tie, and I was looked at like, you know, the FBI agents in the room.
Yeah.
Until Al came up and, you know, gave me a high five, a fist pump, and talked with him for a bit. And then all of a sudden, I was welcome.
You won't remember this, but a cute story from the bureaucracy when Bill Sheffield was elected governor. You know, nice man, whatnot. He came around, but he decided that a lot of us that worked in places like Region 3 for the state agencies up here out of Fairbanks really needed to clean up our act a little bit, and we needed to have a sport coat and maybe a tie hanging on the back of the door so that if somebody came in, like a mayor, whatnot, you could slip that on and, you know, have a conversation.
Yeah.
So then we said, well, what do you want us to do when we go out to the outback and the villages and things? Oh, he says, I think you should dress up there too. And I said, now, let me tell you, you want me to go to Anaktuvuk Pass and talk about the airport and wear a suit and tie? And he thought about that for a minute, and he said, well, what's wrong with that? And I said, well,
never been to Anaktuvuk.
He said, so, well, Governor, these places are small, and they live on the rugged edge of a subsistence lifestyle, and anybody that shows up in a suit and tie is automatically suspect. And you have a hard time developing the confidence you need to try to get into the programs that you're trying to help them with. And like in those days, in the middle 70s, 80s, Anaktuvuk Pass didn't even have lights on the airport.
Yeah.
You know, if you didn't get out of there at dark, you're stuck till morning type of thing. And so it took a while to get that, impact.
Mentality.
Yeah. And it wasn't just me. I mean, there were people a lot higher than me in the agencies that were, you know, you can't just run to the governor and say, no, governor, we can't do that. You got to say, well, you know, we're trying to get the most, get our people.
Aligned correctly.
Yeah, aligned so that they're listened to and all that. And it took probably Bill's first year before.
He understood, look, you know, yep. You're a hotel man.
Yep.
They don't got a hotel up in Anaktuvuk. we're sleeping on a floor.
Yeah, that's right.
And we're not going to have a suit and tie.
Yeah. Anyway.
We're bringing up sea rations.
Yeah, I mean, that's an aside, but it's one of those things where when you work with folks like that, you literally have to try to think how to meet their needs without making them, you know, just automatically suspicious of, you know, a guy with a suit and tie can't figure out what we need here.
Yeah.
Can't listen. And there are a lot of good employees out there, and people like Al that go out to the various villages as part of the Board of Game or an advisory committee that really do understand them and really can look at what they need and whatnot. And so it's important to make a step. So the Laundry House Gang at the moment, in addition to things like Wood Bison, we're in a couple of keeping track of a couple of management projects on caribou herds. We're big on public information. If people look in the newspaper, you will see, we don't put it in there under the Laundry House Gang, but we all write letters, Wayneheimer, quite frequently. Wayne is one of those who can explain fairly complex issues in a very logical sequence.
He very talented at that.
So he starts with the project, a problem that he sees or that we've talked about. He goes on down the line and talks about what it's going to take to fix it.
Yeah.
And the folks at the newspapers, the Fairbanks and other places, they encourage him to do that because he does write so well. And when he started that, Wayne's pretty academic, and when he started that, everything was good except we had to take his language and dumb it down a little bit. Yeah, he would use the four-syllable words.
We were in here one time, and on the air I called in and said, okay, if you can figure out who the doctor is here, you get something at Compose. The first phone call, 3 seconds later, it's Wayneheimer.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. The other thing is you got to shorten it from 6 pages down to 1 page.
Yeah, that's tough for him.
Yeah, it's real hard if you read
he puts
through,
in a lot of facts.
Oh, yeah. If you read through his stuff, it's all good. And I'm sure every editor that ever worked with him has had that problem. Oh, gosh, where do we cut this guy off? And it's difficult. But we work on special projects. the governor has come up with a couple for us where he wants to take a look at something and what about this, what about that. We'll dive into it, see what we can find out, and take that back to him. It's very interesting. We're one of the only groups even of Chamber of Commerce, things like that, Dave. We had a meeting with the governor last July, I believe it was, Al, when he had 6 of his commissioners and department heads with him. You don't get that kind of opportunity very often.
No, you don't.
Where you can sit down and then the governor's sitting there and attorney general's next to him and then 4 or 5. With my experience at DOT, working on all different facets there, from maintenance to project development to everything else, when Dunleavy was elected, and he knew about that. We had talked to him. He'd come to the Laundry House Gang and said, who the heck are you guys? Legitimately so, I would say. But he then asked us to partner with agencies. I partnered with Ryan Anderson, who's the commissioner of DOT, and we went and actually solved a couple problems that have been on the books for 30 years. And within a few months, we had solutions to those problems. And then we're able to step down the road, keep everybody happy. So it was interesting to watch his approach to that, trying to get that mix of people that have been involved and people who were managing now over time period.
And after January starts, we'll have the local legislators, calling us up and saying, here, we need some help with this, and where do we go with it? And what do you guys think about, this bill or that bill, or how do we amend this bill to make it better? We get a lot of separate projects.
And a lot of questions on impact. If we do this, what does that mean for, some region or hunting, fishing, trapping, or that kind of thing? And so we dig into that. We'll usually ask a couple of people to volunteer. Al gets asked a lot to do that. He's one of those guys that can look and his light reading is the regulation book for fishing game, which is 1,000 pages long and small print. But it's amazing how many times in there, and I have done that over the years too, that between the two of us, we have found so many directly opposed discrepancies, where in section 302, it says one thing, but in section 604, it goes exactly opposite to it. And we usually bring those to the board's attention and the department's attention and say, you really ought to fix this. This is, we often see it when it gets them in trouble.
Or the Alaska Supreme Court has changed something, and the legislature hasn't gone back and amended their statute.
Yep.
and they just left it alone.
The legislatures, like Congress, has a regulatory review function, mm-hmm. but they usually don't get into it. The lieutenant governor's office looks at the regulation, says ho-hum, has a cup of coffee, signs off on the regulation, and you go. 6 months down the road, they get into a bind where you're in a catch-22, where the new regulation puts you directly in a bind with what was already on the books and what people have been doing. And so one of the things we try to do is get ahead of that. Mm-hmm. Say, if you do that, you better take a look at this section over here, too, and see if you want to change that, too. Mm. Keeps us busy. We don't have to worry about, you know, taking long naps in the afternoon or anything.
So when you go to Kotzebue, how many days?
I believe this is going to be a 4 or 5 day or 4 day meeting, so it'll be 5 or 6 days. We'll show up early. We'll have a work session out there, and we'll have a new board member orientation out there, because we do have a new board member this year, Dave Loring from Fairbanks. Mm-hmm. So he's going to be a breath of fresh air for the board. New
aspects. Hot new blood.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, Dave has a ton of general experience.
Yeah.
He's a retired
wildlife trooper.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
And he's a pilot for Wright's Air, so he's very familiar with all the rural communities. Maybe not out to Kotzebue, but I'm sure he was stationed there at one time in his 30 years as a wildlife trooper.
Well, he's certainly been through there.
And anyways, it'll be fun. It's always good. It's always great to meet the new local people out there. And I have some customers. And
well, you get a day for fox hunting, you know, on the way in. Way
now
out
we have some nights off, so we get to, you know, I always like to meet people. And
oh, yeah.
Get invited to a house every now and then and have a dinner. And
shoot an endangered species that's in there.
Yeah.
What the heck?
When Al's out there, he is the endangered species.
Participate in the traditional ways of catching something. Yeah. So what are you going to shoot and kill when you're out there?
I don't know.
You haven't figured that out yet?
Not yet, no.
Wayward polar bears?
We just play it by ear.
Okay. When do you get your agenda for that?
Probably the agenda will be set, maybe a month or less than a month before the meeting.
Okay.
We'll be there. We have deadlines for public comments and department comments and agency comments. And generally all that stuff really starts to show up about 2-3 weeks before the meeting.
The agenda comes, with a roadmap of how they're going to go through the proposals. And keep in mind that even when they're in the Northwest region like that, the boards, anybody in the state, somebody from Ketchikan might have a proposal in there, and those have all got to be looked at.
Right.
2 minutes left. Mike Tinker, what are you doing outdoors this December?
I think the ice is probably thick enough now to go ice fishing. And, up till now, it's been a little risky here and there. Mm-hmm. Maybe not, drive the pickup out there at 100 miles an hour. But I think that's a really good thing, especially with this warmer weather. You know, it's so nice now. It'd be nice to get out, and especially if you have little ones. Good time to take them fishing.
Al, what would you suggest to do?
Oh, all I got is trapping on my mind.
What are you going to trap?
Whatever steps in it.
If you tell Compo that, he'll write you a new country song.
Yeah.
Trapping on my mind, I can see it now.
Mm. So no, that's what I do. This is trapping season. Got a little late start, this warm weather. Still got some river issues to deal with, so waiting for some cold weather to get done there. But
My thought is I'd go out and catch a pike right now. You can catch a pike in the Chena River. It's still open down at the Parks Bridge, and where it goes into that little where the sunk boat is.
It's not sunk, Dave. It's just on a big angle.
Yeah, where that big angle boat is, that's where I would go looking for pike that go out and ambush other things. So, gentlemen, thank you very much for being with us here, Fairbanks. I hope you enjoyed your day. Tomorrow, I'll have Joni Skillbred with me, and we're going to talk about how piece of Fairbanks was developed, and it's Garden Island, where I live.
Oh, all right.
I'll see you guys tomorrow.
I always enjoy your show.
Yep.
Yeah.